sermon series, Songs of the Season, today, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus. I don't know if you've noticed something about Christmas music, something I have noticed. Unlike musical numbers from other genres of music, it seems that it doesn't matter how many times a Christmas carol or song gets recorded. People think it's a good thing to go out and buy that Christmas recording, and they end up with dozens of things like versions of Frosty the Snowman, for example. I've also noticed that most musical stars, at least at some point, have to produce a Christmas album. And sometimes it's not just musical talents. I was somewhat gobsmacked, that's the best word I have for it, when I read that Toronto Raptors broadcaster Jack Armstrong announced plans to release a Christmas music album. Now, if you've ever watched a Raptors game on TSN, you know who Jack Armstrong is. The record project named Hello and Happy Holidays was set to be released November the 18th through Comedy Records, of all things. And proceeds from the album are slated to go to Maple Leaf Sports and Entertainment's foundation and the Special Olympics. Armstrong is from Brooklyn, New York. He's been on the Raptors broadcast since 1998. He serves as an analyst and a color commentator for TSN, in addition to being the on-air broadcaster for Toronto. The 59-year-old, boy, I was upset when I found out he's younger than I am. A 59-year-old has built a reputation for his voice. Boy, has he ever. The New York accent and catchphrases like, hello, and get that garbage out of here, are famous from him. Now, personally, I don't know how much play this album's going to get on the radio. I have no idea. But I may be surprised. Why is music so popular? Why is it so beloved at Christmas time? Why do we long to hear the old favorites, some of which are hundreds of years old, but we still love them? Well, I thought it might be fun to explore at least a few of our favorites over this season, to get a taste of its history, and more importantly, to learn what the composer was trying to tell us. It's also true that many people actually develop their ideas about God and faith through the theology that's presented in hymns and carols, not necessarily through preaching or even the scriptures. So it's critical that we examine very carefully what's being presented in a hymn. That being said, this is the first Sunday of Advent, and I thought the beloved carol which we just sang, Come Thou Long-Expected Jesus, was a great way to kick off our Advent season, since it centers around Israel's longing for a Messiah and humanity's deliverance. These are the words again. Come thou long-expected Jesus, born to set thy people free. From our fears and sins release us. Let us find our rest in thee. Israel's strength and consolation, hope of all the earth thou art. Dear desire of every nation, joy of every longing heart. Born thy people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign in us forever, now thy gracious kingdom bring. By thine own eternal spirit, rule in all our hearts alone. By thine all-sufficient merit, raise us to thy glorious throne. What wonderful words. This hymn, you may know, was written by Charles Wesley. And Charles Wesley was a prolific hymn writer. It is said, I couldn't believe it when I read this, that he has written over 6,500 hymns. Wow, that's incredible. Wesley was a Methodist pastor, and he was also what we call an itinerant preacher. So he would go by horseback from town to town to preach to small local congregations, many of which were house churches. Wesley was a key figure in the Great Awakening, and if you ever want to read something special, read about the history of the Great Awakening. It was a time of interest in the Christian faith was drawing all kinds of new people to the faith. Beginning in Western Europe and then to England, the Great Awakening really took hold in America. And yes, it also spilled into Canada. Charles Wesley has written some of the most famous hymns of our faith. Many of them we still sing today. Some examples are, "And Can It Be?" "Hark, the herald angels sing, love divine, all loves excelling." And he wrote this one. All things considered, when you study the language of Wesley's hymn, this one before us is perhaps the deepest and most poetic hymn that he ever wrote. Wesley knew firsthand that what it meant for people to be free. When he was about 30 years old, he traveled to America on a preaching mission, and there he saw firsthand slavery in its rawest form. He recorded in his journal that he had seen parents actually give their children a slave to torment. Wesley was so shaken by the evil of slavery that he nearly had a nervous breakdown. And it wasn't long before he had to return to England. There were people who criticized Wesley for not staying in America to join the fight against slavery, but Wesley's weapons were sermons and his hymns. For the next several decades, his sermons and hymns lent their power to the effort to make people free. Free from slavery, free from fear, and free from sin. In 1744, Charles Wesley considered this verse from Haggai chapter 2, verse 7, which reads like this, "And I shall shake the nations so that all the treasure of all nations shall come, and I will fill this house with splendor, says the Lord of hosts." Considering the promise of Israel and looking at the situation of the numerous orphans in his area where he lived, Wesley began to put pen to paper. You know, socially, Britain was a real mess in Wesley's day. It's something Charles Dickens wrote about too. Wesley looked at the massive class divide in his great beloved Great Britain. And through this train of thought, he came to write, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." It's based, as they said, on Haggai 2:7. First, he wrote it as a prayer, which had the words, "Born your people to deliver, born a child and yet a king, born to reign over us forever, now your gracious kingdom bring. By your own eternal spirit, rule in our hearts alone, your all-sufficient merit, raise us to your glorious throne." Amen. Wesley then took that prayer and adapted it into a hymn in 1744. It was published in his hymn book, Hymns for the Nativity of Our Lord. Wesley wrote, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus," with the intent to get people to prepare and to understand and remember that Advent and Christmas commemorate the Nativity of Jesus, but also we are to prepare for the Second Coming. And these hymns were critically important to educate and encourage people at a time when literacy was at a very low level in the general populace. "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus" was the first of a number of Wesley's hymns that became known as the festival hymns. These festival hymns were published outside Methodism by a German by the name of John Lamp in 1746. The hymn came into popular knowledge through Christian denominations in England, particularly through its mention by a very famous Baptist preacher, Charles Spurgeon. Spurgeon made a Christmas sermon in London in 1855 when he was just 21 years old, and he included the sections of this hymn, "Come Thou Long Expected Jesus." He did this to illustrate a very important point that I've overlooked for years in this hymn. His point was that very few people are born a king. You ever thought of that? and that Jesus was the only one who was born a king without ever being a prince. Wow. As a result of this hymn's growing popularity, including in the Church of England and American hymnals, it was first published in the Methodist Wesley Hymn Book in 1875, after having previously actually been excluded from that hymn book. The original reason for exclusion was there was no officially suitable music to put that hymn to. In recent times, Come Thou Long Expected Jesus has not been as well known as other Christmas carols, as others written around the same time are more memorable to us, like Joy to the World being one such example. But Come Thou Long Expected Jesus is still used to focus our attention on the hope of the second coming. The lyrics of Come Thou Long Expected Jesus focus on God choosing to give a Messiah to the world in the form of Jesus. It also focuses on the Old Testament Israelites longing for a Messiah to come and take the burden of sin away from them and onto himself. The very last line of this hymn may actually have been inspired to Wesley from a 17th century philosopher named Blaise Pascal, who claimed this: there is a God-shaped vacuum in the heart of every person that cannot be filled by any created thing, but only by God the Creator. There's a lot here we could explore in this hymn. There's the importance of celebrating and remembering that Advent is not just a preparatory time for Christmas, but a time to seriously contemplate the second coming of Jesus. Advent's also a time of remembering that our God in Christ is a God of coming. He comes to us as his people. We need to be prepared for this occurrence, just like some of the parables we've looked at recently urge us to, like the parable of the 10 virgins. But the one thought that really grabbed my attention in exploring this beloved carol was the probable connection to Blaise Pascal's comment about the God-shaped vacuum in every person's heart. Israel's strength and consolation is a profound metaphor for that universal hunger and that need for God. The truth is, we all need God, whether or not we recognize that need or that we acknowledge that need. You know, the scriptures are ripe with stories of people whose hearts were a vacuum, that they longed for something, really anything, to fill that void. Take one of my favorite characters, Zacchaeus. He had a vacuum in his heart. He tried to fill it with money and with influence, but there was no satisfaction there. So he climbs a tree to glimpse the one who would fill that hole in his heart. There's a woman who comes to a well at midday because she's basically isolated. She's a pariah to her society. She comes with a vacuum in her heart. She's had 5 husbands and now she's living with another man. And these relationships she keeps falling into are not filling that vacuum. She meets Jesus at the well, and a spring of living water erupts in her heart, and there is no longer a void in her life. The Apostle Paul, before his conversion, was said to be zealous for the faith of his fathers. He was persecuting Christians in part because his heart was empty. He longed for significance and purpose. And then came his Damascus Road experience. In these and every instance, and even now in our time, people have turned to many things to try and fill that hole in the core of their being, only to find it's never enough. There's never enough power, money, drugs, sexual activity or any number of things to fill that hole. There just isn't. But Wesley knew that hunger in all of us. He saw it in the faces of the people he saw every day whose lives were devoid of meaning and hope. He also knew, as we do, that there are any number of people in this world who will seek to exploit that emptiness in us and offer us alternative escapes. The wonder of Advent and Christmas is that after centuries of sending prophets to tell us how to live and what God is like, God did something truly extraordinary. Radio preacher Steve Brown describes a housewife who's washing dishes in the kitchen sink one day after her children had gone to school and her husband had left for work. And she looked at this one particular plate for a long time. She stared at it, and she began to ask herself over and over again, how many times have I washed this plate? How many times have I dried this plate? And how many more times am I going to wash this plate and dry it again? She set the plate down and took off her apron. She packed a few belongings and she left. That night she called home to tell her husband that she was all right, but she just couldn't come home again. And from time to time over the next several weeks, she would call just to see how her husband and her children were doing. But she would never tell them where she was, nor accede to the pleas of her family to come home. The husband hired a detective to search for her. And after picking up a few leads, the detective tracked her down. She was in another state, living in a small apartment over a luncheonette where she got a job as a waitress. Her husband set out immediately to bring her home. When he found the place she was staying, he knocked on the door of her upstairs apartment. She opened the door, saw him, and didn't say a word. Instead, she went into the bedroom, packed her belongings, and silently followed him out to the car. Then in silence, they drove home. Several hours later, when the two of them were alone in their bedroom, he finally spoke to her. And he asked her, why didn't you come home before? Over the phone, I begged you and begged you to come home. Why didn't you come? The wife answered, I heard your words. But it wasn't until you came for me that I realized how much you cared and how important I was to you. The reality is, my friends, I could preach 1,000 sermons to you. I can encourage you to read your Bibles. I can tell you it's good to spend time at Bible studies. But what we all need today and every day is a Jesus who comes to us. No matter where we are, no matter how beaten up by life we are, also he can say directly to our emptiness, I care about you. Advent and Christmas remind us that our God has come to us. He continues to come to us, and he will come again because he loves us. That emptiness you may be grappling with, that itch that just won't seem to be scratched, that unsatisfactory way the worldly things try to fill a void but come up wanting, these are all signs of our need for the long-expected Jesus to set us free. Also, we can join in and sing the words of Revelation 5, which also inspired Wesley to write this hymn. And there we read. And they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain. And by your blood you ransomed people for God from every tribe and language and people and nation. And you have made them a kingdom and priests to our God. and they shall reign on the earth. Amen.